As you can see by our festive rose garments, this Sunday is different than the rest. This Sunday, fourth Sunday of Lent, is traditionally known as Laetare Sunday, a Latin word that means to rejoice. As was expressed in the entrance antiphon, "Rejoice, Jerusalem, and all who love her. Be joyful, all who are mourning. Exult and be satisfied at her consoling breasts." For the first weeks of Lent, our focus was penitential. This Sunday is our opportunity to savor and keep in mind what awaits us on Easter Sunday, the reality that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and therefore our hearts will be always filled with joy. Now I realize that in this troubled world that we live in, you may find it difficult to be joyful. But there are many reasons to have joy, a joy that no one can take away from you. For example, living among those who are persecuting Christians, we are still free to worship the one true God of our faith as often and as we desire. And a joy we parents feel in this woke, infested world, because we are free to educate our children as we choose to teach them what is best for them, according to God's law and not man's. The Sunday's readings during Lent invite us to see as God sees. And as I mentioned last weekend about the scrutinies during the 3 weeks before Palm Sunday, this scrutiny is about the man born blind, the sixth sign or miracle that Jesus works in his ministry. This miracle is to enlighten the eyes of the hearts of the faithful, but particularly the elect, to see and recognize our Lord Jesus as the light of the world. Light is a powerful phenomenon, the marvelous source required for life. Light is a phenomenon, darkness is not. Darkness is basically just the absence of light. Father Krish mentioned a few weeks ago about the total darkness in a cave when all the lights are turned out, and how it is so dark that it is equal to becoming totally blind. Even after a while, the eyes do not adjust, so total blindness remains. Now, while I have never been physically blind, I have experienced the cave blindness that we mentioned, and I've also experienced what aviators call flying blind. The situation when the aircraft enters clouds and the ability to remain upright and on course to the destination requires faith in believing and following the aircraft instruments at all times. Occasionally, the entire flight, from moments after takeoff to moments before landing, were spent flying blind, like being in the cave with the lights out. I admit that I prefer to fly in the daylight hours and in clear skies, just as I prefer to walk in the light of the Lord until I reach my ultimate destination. The joy of seeing the Lord's face will far surpass the joy of seeing the lights of the runway at the end of the journey. Light must have been very important to our Creator. His first command on the first day of creation is, "Let there be light." The earth was without form and with darkness over the abyss. God created light and saw that light was good. But with the creation of man, the world fell into darkness in the Garden of Eden at the disobedience of Adam and Eve. The world remained in darkness until the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world, the one who brings light to darkness, and sight to the blind." Today in particular, the man born blind. The story of the man born blind is a story of his transformation from being totally physically blind at birth to receiving his eyesight. The story includes elements of baptism in Jesus' time. Jesus gives him his physical sight and the light of faith. The question asked a lot is, why did Jesus use his spit and dirt to create the clay? Well, St. Augustine gives an explanation of Jesus' spittle in this gospel passage. He wrote that the saliva that descends from the head signifies the word of God who proceeds from the Father, the head of all things. Therefore, the Lord made clay from the spittle and the earth when the word was made flesh. He anointed the eyes of the blind man, that is, of the human race. The eyes are the eyes of the heart, anointed by faith in the incarnation of Christ. This salve, which in Jesus puts on his eyes, is representative of the oil of the catechumen used in baptisms today. But the man born blind did not yet see spiritually, because the anointing produced a catechumen who has faith but has not yet been baptized. Jesus told the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam, meaning sent. The water washed away the clay scales, and he came back able to see. As Jesus cured the blind man in the water, so too are we cured in the water of baptism. In the water of baptism, a person is transformed from being a creature of God into a child of God. In this transformation, our ears are open to hear the word of God, and the lips are open to speak the word of God from the Ephatha prayer. And the spiritual blindness is transformed to seeing the way, the truth, and the life. Every one of us experience eyesight problems, physical and spiritual, at some time during life. And our humanity throughout the ages has developed eyesight cataracts, which hampers recognizing the darkness of sin, causing us to lose our way along the narrow path to salvation. The spiritual kinds of these that can be most problematic are being blind to our own blindness, being blind to the gifts God has given us, being blind to the hurt we cause others, and being blind to the injustice today in our world, especially injustice to the unborn. The cure to remove these cataracts that cause us to experience unpleasant situations is the surgery we call the sacrament of reconciliation. When we confess our sins in this sacrament, we receive absolution, and Jesus restores our spiritual vision, made complete with penance. There is a story that really touched my heart, and I wanted to share it with you. It's about a blind man in the hospital. There were two men who shared a room. One was totally blind. The other, who sees very well but is in need of surgery. Feeling sorry for this his blind roommate, he answers his roommate's request to tell him what he sees outside their window. Each day, he shares the amazing things he sees going on, which brings joy to his new buddy. Eventually, the storyteller requires surgery, and they say goodbye as he is taken away. Sadly, the storyteller doesn't make it, and the blind man's nurse tells him of his roommate's passing. So the blind man asks the nurse to please tell him what she sees outside their window. Perplexed, she proceeds to tell him that there is nothing outside the window but a wall. The blind man realizes his buddy had been fooling him the entire time and laughs to himself, saying, "Hey, you got me, man." But deep down inside, he was happy, though, and grateful for what his friend did for him, bringing beautiful visions to his mind. In the end, a friend like his is priceless, and we all need friends like that to share our happiness with. Today, may the lesson of the man born blind help us to scrutinize our own spiritual blindness to sin, and ask the Lord to open our eyes to see again, so as to live as children of the light. Let us be the one who is sent to bring light to others, even if we have to transform a brick wall into amazing things full of love. Be prepared, though. When your eyes are opened, your vision can come with a heavy price, like the man born blind who was expelled from the synagogue because he spoke without fear the truth in his heart.